Welcome to the Andrew Cordell Show, where we discuss real money from real estate. Andrew Cordell gives advice based on firsthand experience. Andrew has experienced the peaks of the real estate market, the lows of the market crash of 2007, and he has taught himself how to rebuild his successful real estate business from scratch after he lost it all. He now helps others learn how to find their own success through his experience, mistakes, and triumphs. And now, your host, founder of the National Association of Real Estate Investors, experienced investor with over 140 houses flipped in only 18 months, Andrew Cordell.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show, where we're talking about making real money from real estate investing. And we got a great show ahead of us today, talking about our different success stories. And we'll be talking about with first Michael Helke right here in the first two segments about his success stories inside of real estate. He's got some awesome stuff, including wholesaling, buy, fix, selling, some multifamily. And then on the back half of the show, we're going to talk to David Tyler about his investing as well. So great show ahead of us today. For those new tuning into our radio show here, my name is Andrew. I'm the founder of the National Association of Real Estate Investors. And if you would like more information about being a member of our National Association, you can simply become a member for only $1 a day to receive the education and the motivation that you need to start your real estate investing career. If you want more information about that or to join for only $1 a day, simply call 1-800-537-3440. Again, that number is 1-800-537-3440. Now, Michael, I want to start talking about you have a really interesting story that I think that a lot of people can identify to, but not even know that they do identify to it yet. It's one of those stories that I fully believe in. What we're going to talk about today, I think a lot of people skip over it, and I really want to dive into the importance of how your upbringing led you into real estate investing and why you think it's so important about what we're going to talk about today. Before we get started, I want to give a little bit of information, a background about Michael here. He's been investing for 25 years. Like I said, he's done wholesale, buy, fix, hold, started a property management company as well as a granite company. We had a great conversation about his granite import business that he had. And he's done over 70 to 80 deals in the last 25 years, and he's setting up nicely with his retirement account right now with the rental properties that he owns. So, Michael, let's get into, if you can, talk a little bit about your upbringing and how that really affected you with your mind about money and finances as you were growing up.
Well, we lived when I was younger in Las Vegas, and my mother said, "Put that back. We can't afford it more than she said anything."
Yeah.
We're talking about candy bars and little stuff. But then she dropped $3-4 into a slot machine. And I remember once when I was around 9 or 10 or so, it made me mad. And I said, "Well, how much do you make? Why can't we afford this?" And she smacked me in the back of the head and said, "None of your business. Go sit in the car."
Yeah.
Well, that was the extent of my education in finance until I was old enough to leave that house and go find something else.
So I'll just jump in here because I want to really lay the foundation on this because I think it's important, Michael, because what happens is with so many people is that they're brought up in an environment, maybe not that strong of an environment like you're referencing there, but they're brought in up with this environment of you can't afford this.
Yeah.
And you grow up with your parents saying, "Well, we can't afford this," and it doesn't make sense to you. Or they grow up and say, "Well, we can't go on a family vacation," or we have to share all these rooms on the vacation. You know, they come – there's all these – that are just constantly sort of dripped into us as we're kids growing up, and that really affects our overall financial mindset on creating wealth and becoming financially free. And I'm assuming that's what you're referring to as you talk about this.
Yeah, the reality is poor people don't teach their kids much about money and how to use it and how to make it because, well, frankly, they just don't know that much.
Sure. And it's obviously if you haven't made the money, it's hard to teach someone how to make the money. And a lot of times I think it's almost, I hate to say this, but sometimes I think it's even a little bit of the shame maybe. Is that the right word? Shame of the parents because they were not successful. And I don't mean successful as humans. I'm talking about financially successful. So maybe because they haven't reached that financial success level yet, they are a little bit shamed or maybe a little bit embarrassed because of that. And like you say, when you ask your mother, how much money do you make? There's that instant thing of shame or embarrassment because they didn't reach that financial plateau. And I'm not saying that's the end of the world, and whether you're wealthy or not, that makes no difference. I mean, life is more important than just money. But I do think that sometimes, because of the lack of money, there is a little bit of that embarrassment, like you were sort of talking about today. Michael, if we talk about a little bit more in that mindset, how do you feel like that affects the negative mindset of, you know, you can't afford this, you can't have this, we don't go on vacation? How does that affect going into later on in your life when you were going into real estate, or you're trying to figure out real estate? How does that affect that mindset you have there?
Well, the biggest issue is when people start thinking that they want to do something differently, when it becomes hard. I mean, it's not easy to make that transition from I got to get a job to now I'm an entrepreneur.
Right.
So the big thing is you constantly are battling that to try and be positive for the future, but that conditioning that you had growing up continues with you, and it's constantly eating at the back of your head saying, you can't do this, you can't do this, this isn't possible.
Yeah, and I think that a big part of it, that's why I say, I know a lot of people are going to relate to this if they start thinking about it, because that mindset, you don't realize how ingrained it is inside of you. And it's not something you just turn on and turn off, and like, you know, it's not something you wake up one day and say, okay, well, I'm not going to think that way anymore, because it is part of who you are. You have heard it since basically the time that you were born, all the way growing up. You've heard these analogies, and you've heard this almost negativity about financial success because of the mindset that you're surrounded yourself with. And it is really deep rooted inside of you. And you have to go through a process of sort of resetting your financial mindset. And Mike, I know you've done that as well. I've done that myself. And if you can, just out of curiosity here, what would be, in your opinion, what would be some ways that maybe someone could reset or try to reprogram their mindset to get out of that deep rooted, you can't afford this, you can't have this, you know, we don't make that type of money, we're not the Joneses? How do you sort of get out of that mentality?
Well, first of all, the people you hang out with, the people that you contact and you converse with every day makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. If you're hanging out with people that have that negative mindset, you're going to continue to fight it. So if you can find other investors who are out doing it,
right,
that you can interview, you can find out, you know, what are you doing? If you can interview 8 to 10 of those people and find out what they're doing, why they're doing it, what kind of properties they're looking for, what kind of properties they avoid and why, then I guarantee you'll be a much more of an expert than any one of those, because those people probably aren't talking to each other either.
Yeah, so the concept you're talking about here is, and it is funny because I shouldn't say funny, it's just unique that, you know, with all the guests that we have on the air here, all these different NARI members we have coming in and giving advice, it's unique because there's always that sort of common denominator that I find out there all the time with successful people. And one of the very first things they tell you to do is get around like-minded people that you're trying to, you know, become like or learn from. You have to get networking with them and get talking to them. You bring up a little bit different angle where you're actually saying sort of almost go into a little bit of an interview process with them, asking them questions, well, you know, about the house that they buy. Why do they buy the house? Why don't they buy this style of house over here? You're a little bit coming out from a standpoint of actually trying to really get gain that knowledge from them by asking them direct questions. And you're saying maybe try to get in front of 7 to 10 people there and talk to them about why they do things.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of places that you can go for information about real estate investing, and they always talk about the numbers and the quality of the house and the quality of the materials you put in the house. But the reality is this is a people business. Yeah, you have to understand the numbers. If you don't understand the numbers, you're not going to be that successful.
Sure.
But I'm here to tell you that even if you do understand those numbers, if you don't get with the people and you don't set up a program that really works for each individual, and you're not creating win-win situations between you and the other people that you work with, then you may have mediocre success at best.
Yeah, you know, another, that's a great point, Michael, and I appreciate the wisdom that you're sharing with the listeners here today, because I say something similar to that all the time as I travel and speak, and that is real estate is a relationship business. And if you don't know how to build those relationships, you're not going to be very successful in this business. It's not just a thing of learning the numbers, learning the spreadsheet, learning the formula to figure out if it's a good deal or not. If you don't know how to work with people and build those relationships, you may be able to do a deal. You may be able to, you know, do a couple of deals. But what happens is you're burning relationships and burning contractors, burning wholesalers, burning you know, attorneys, and all the different pieces that it takes to make the deal work. You begin to burn those relationships, and there's only so many of them out there when it comes to your area where you're at. And if you don't know how to work with people, this probably isn't the business for you, because although it is a four walls and a roof business, it's also, like you said, Michael, it's a people business. I couldn't agree with you more when you're talking about how it's a people business. Sort of wrapping up this little segment here, if we talked about some of the things that people could do, do you have any books, different books you could recommend for people that they could read to start to try to reprogram real quick their mindset?
Yeah, the first book that I ever read when I was in my early 20s was a really old book. It's called Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah, it's been a while for a while, yeah.
Yeah, and it was really helpful. I remember it was frustrating because he keeps saying when you finally get the secret of this over and over, and I remember being frustrated. I was, just tell me what the secret is. But that's a good book. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was a really good book,
sure,
about
classic
mindset. And then Millionaire Mindset, that's another one that's
helped me. Yeah, by T. Harv Eker.
Yeah.
Yeah, all three of those are good books. And I actually want to talk to you a little bit about Robert Kiyosaki's. I know you know him and have worked with him in the past. Right after this break, let's come back. Let's talk about Robert Kiyosaki. And let's talk about some of these deals that you've done and your success inside of real estate right after this break. And again, guys, if you want to know more about NARI, simply call 1-800-537-3440. We'll see you right after this break talking about Robert Kiyosaki and how you can make money inside of real estate.
We'll be right back on The Andrew Kordal Show. Listen up, America. Are you interested in discovering proven real estate investment techniques that can create life-changing wealth? Andrew Kordal, founder of the National Association of Real Estate Investors, has just published a brand new Amazon best-selling book to give you a market edge on making money in your own backyard. In his book, Cashflow Finish Line, you'll quickly learn the top 12 strategies for making money in real estate today. Discover how to do profitable deals that don't require you lift a paintbrush, but give you fixed returns that can create cash flow and long-term wealth. Call 1-800-524-1365 now to get Andrew's new book absolutely free. Andrew's sponsors are now helping to pay for shipping and handling. You just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Plus, as a bonus, call 800-524-1365 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Learn and earn with Andrew Kordal by calling 1-800-524-1365. That's 1-800-524-1365 to get your free book today.
You've been listening to The Andrew Kordal Show.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Andrew Kordal Real Estate Radio Show, where we're talking about making money from real estate investing. And I have in the studio today Michael, who's a success student here at NARI, the National Association of Real Estate Investors. And he's talking about the change of mindset that he went through back in the early 80s, late 90s, becoming a real estate investor. Michael, we were talking about how important that change of mindset is and how kids grow up with, you can't afford it, you can't have this. The answer is always no, we're not the Joneses. And you realized at an early age that you had to change that mindset so that you could be successful. I think I could not agree with you more. Mindset and reprogramming is so important. But I want to take it a step further, because you're one of the rare people that actually took it all the way as far as you could in changing your mindset. Not only did you read everything and listen to CDs, but you also actually went out and found Kiyosaki. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I decided that if I was going to really change my life, and I mean, we came from a really poor family, and I was not going to be that way.
Yeah.
And I also realized that, you know, Social Security was, they always telling us that it wasn't going to be there when I was old. And
sure.
So I decided that, you know, rather than continue to read books, I needed to go to the source. I needed to find a way to get in front of people who were extremely successful and could teach me everything that they knew, not just whatever they spilled out of their head into a book or a tape or a mm-hmm. video. And so I found a company that was working with Robert directly, and I was I put myself in the way of the train, so to speak.
I love it.
I made it sure that I was on that team that was developing the coaching for him. And so because my attitude was, well, I could read his books and I could continue to follow him and learn some of what he knows, or I could work directly with the man and learn everything he knows.
Yeah. And so you actually, before the show started, we were talking about how you actually have been in the same room, actually having conversations, not just in general conversations, but you had conversations in small groups with Kiyosaki when he was teaching the teachers, and you at one point became a teacher of his, where you were sort of helping some of his students. You actually were getting it straight from the horse's mouth about the philosophy and the mindset and the importance of that mindset straight from him in a room of 10, 12 people.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that's you. I told you on the break earlier that you are by far the person that I know that knew Robert Kiyosaki the most. So let's talk a little bit about your first deal. You were telling me about that. It happened in 1987. It was a buy, fix, and sell deal, and you made a great comment about this deal. But tell me about this first deal, and then let's tell the audience about the comment you made as well.
Well, the very first one that I did, I hadn't met anybody that could help me. I was just reading those self-help books, Millionaire Mindset type
sure.
books,
oh, yeah.
and the No Money Down Deals type books. I found a guy actually two of them that had gotten an inheritance from their father dying, and that was sad, but they had burned through a lot of their inheritance, and they asked me to help them. So they had money. I didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have bad. I had bad credit as well, and so we bought a HUD property, a foreclosure property, and I did all of the work to fix up the property, and it was. It was really great up until payday. When we finally got that point, the point where that house sold, I personally made $2,000 on that deal, and I had put in 6 weeks of work.
Yeah.
In addition to my regular job, and so I think I made somewhere around $8 an hour at that point, if I figured it all out.
Yeah.
And so you know what I realized is that all of the people that are out there telling you, "Oh, my first deal was really great," you know, those people were either extremely lucky or they're lying to you.
Yeah, and I love that comment. I've been waiting for you to say that because I find it's so true. And anybody that gets into real estate, look, unless you're again, maybe you're Robert Kiyosaki's son and he's walking all the way through the process. But when you get into these real estate deals, you don't know everything about real estate. I don't know everything about real estate now, and I've been investing for 12 years. Michael, you don't know everything about real estate, and you've been at it for 25 years because real estate is always adapting and growing and building, so you always have to constantly learn. So when you do your first deal, you don't know everything. You're going to make mistakes. And for me, like Michael was saying, we were sort of chuckling about this because – on my very first deal, I made money. And however, looking back on it, I don't think I've ever been more lucky in my entire life. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. I bought a house in a great neighborhood. Didn't mean to. I bought a house in a strong school district. Didn't mean to. Found a contractor. Had no problems with him. He did all the work on time, on budget. I mean, literally, I was telling Michael, I don't think I've ever had actually an easier deal than my very first deal I ever did. And so I think it's such a true point. And I want to make that point because if you have made an investment before in real estate, it didn't go well for you, I don't want you to stress out about that. I mean, come back, do another deal, because not everybody's deal is a great deal. Here you have Michael, 25 years experience, saying that on his first deal, he was making $8 an hour, basically, on his very first deal. Later on in life, now he's still doing real estate. He's bought many, many 70 to 80 houses since then. And Michael, real quick on the recap here, finalizing this, you just closed another house 2 weeks ago, which is one of your rental properties.
Correct.
And you're rehabbing that property now, putting it inside your portfolio for your retirement future ahead of you. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm focused on. There was a time I was doing 4 or 5 rehabs at a time, and now I'm 55 years old. I don't want to work that hard.
Yeah.
So I'm just collecting rentals, and eventually I'll probably end up not doing the rehabs at all when I'm too old to move.
Yeah, for sure. I understand that. And part of it is, you know, I still do the buy, fix, and sells, and part of it is because I actually truly love it. I enjoy that process. You were telling me how you enjoy a little bit of the carpentry process in some of the properties. And so sometimes you'll get out there and fiddle around with the saws and make sure the trim and the crown mold and sure the detail work is all perfect. And that is one of the nice things about real estate is you'll find there's certain things about it that you just really love. Guys, I appreciate you listening to Michael here. Great success story. Coming up after the break, we have David Tyler talk about his success story in real estate. So stay tuned right after this break on the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show.
We'll be right back on the Andrew Cordell Show.
The problem with the American dream is waking up in your 40s stuck in a nightmare, working too many hours for too little money. What if you could break that cycle, supplement your income, and actually sock away some money for retirement? Or better yet, be your own boss. Keep more of what you make because you're working for you. Well, now you can, and people just like you are doing it right here in Making Money Now Without Risking Any of Their Own Money. Find out how in Andrew Cordell's brand new Amazon best-selling book, Cashflow Finish Line. The cost? Zero. Andrew has arranged for his sponsors to help pay for shipping and handling. Just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Live the American dream on your terms, starting with a simple phone call. Call 1-800-524-0720 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-0720 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-0720 now. That's 1-800-524-0720.
You've been listening to the Andrew Cordell Show.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show, where we're talking about real money made from real estate. And I've got a guest in the studio with me today that I'm very excited to talk about. He's got an awesome story about how he retired using real estate to help him retire at the age of 41 years old. And he's also got an incredible story about a land deal that he did that he was able to take over a piece of land that the owner had from 1892. And it's an absolutely incredible story. One of the best stories I've heard about finding some raw land and being able to take over it. So we're definitely going to get into that, as it's a really cool story. But David, I want to start back from the beginning, and I want to go through and progress through the success systems that you had. You know, so I want you to paint us a picture as to where you were back when you bought your first property. You know, where did you get the idea to invest into real estate? Were you taught it by a family member? How did you get into real estate? I want to cover that first, and then let me go into your very first deal. And before we do that, David, I want to make sure you get the right credentials out here. Not only did you retire at the age of 41, but David has also done buy, fix, sell houses. He does a lot of tax deeds as well as a little bit of raw land. He's been investing for 33 years. So this guy has 33 years experience, retired at the age of 41, and we're going to be able to glean from his wisdom and knowledge, David. So David, take us back, paint us a picture as to where you were before you started real estate in the story there.
Well, I was quite young. I was a teenager, and my dad was working on some houses, and he was fixing them in California. And at that time, California was kind of a booming real estate market. So I got to see a little bit about what he was doing in fixing property up, and I helped him kind of fix up some of the properties. So I had a little bit of a background in that. But the part of this was actually really good is he took me to some real estate seminars, and some of those were good training. And
so when you were growing up, you started with – your dad was already a real estate investor. Now, was he doing rental properties, buy, fix, sell? What was he doing?
He only did two houses.
Okay.
And but he fixed them up in the California area, and he made pretty good money on fixing up. They were kind of beat-up properties that he fixed the floors because the floors were falling apart, or they had a lot of water on them or something like that. And so he put in probably couple thousand dollars and turned around and sold them and made some maybe $5,000-$10,000. I don't know how much he made.
Yeah, so he did a little bit of basically back in the day, did some basic buy, fix, and sells. What was that, probably in the 60 eras?
No, it was about the early 70s.
Early 70s. Okay, so your dad had did some basic buy, fix, and sells. You said two of them. And that sort of intrigued you, basically. And then you have this. You said you attended seminars, which I thought was pretty funny because, a lot of people think seminars are new and they just started. But in reality, real estate seminars have been going on for, 50, 60 years. These seminars have been going on. And so a lot of people think they just started or new and they're not. So you attended some seminars with your father to learn about real estate investing. You were a mechanic, and then you had this itch to go out there and do a deal on your own. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly it.
Awesome, man. So tell me a little bit about this very first deal that you come across. First of all, what type of deal was it?
Well, it's a kind of a house that was beat up pretty bad. I mean, the roof wasn't all that good, and the interior was pretty crummy. It's only a 1,000 square foot size house. And at the time, the interest rates were incredibly high. They were running about 17%.
Wow. And that was really through a regular bank, right?
That was not hard money. That was not hard money.
I mean, now, hard money is cheaper than that. You can get hard money for what cheaper than that for what you used to be able to get a traditional loan for. And for those out there, just to compare that, a traditional loan now, I just saw a commercial on TV yesterday that was at 2.99 on a refinance of a property. Back then in the early 80s, it was 17%, which is absolutely crazy. It would have been tough to be an investor back then, David.
Oh, it was. And the bad part about it is I thought, okay, I better get it now before it goes even higher. So, and some of them did actually go a little higher than that.
Yeah, I think they capped off around 21, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was pretty high.
21%. So you come across this property. It needs quite a bit of work done to it. And how did you find the property? Was it just a regular sort of MLS off the market house, or were you driving by it and saw it? How did it come about?
Yeah, I had a relative that was selling houses, and he's kind of talked about seeing if he could find a house for me. He did, and it was actually really good. It was a $38,000 house at 17%, and we were really concerned about that payment when came around. But we made it work, and that was the first deal. But it was needed to be fixed up. We fixed it up, and we ended up selling it for about $93,000.
Wow. Now, I want to come back right after this break. I'm going to talk about a little bit about this deal that you have going on here, your first deal that you did. And, of course, I want to get to the land from 1892. I love this story when I was talking to you off the air, so I want to get back to that as well. So right after this break, we're going to dive back into your first deal and then go into this land acquisition you did. David, I'm glad you're here. For the listeners out there, if you want to receive a free copy of my Amazon bestselling book, The 12 Strategies of Real Estate Investing, simply pick up the phone, call 1-800-537-3440. I will give you a free copy of my book. Simply pay shipping and handling of only $1.95. $1.95 gets you my Amazon best-selling book, 1-800-537-3440. We'll be back right after this break to talk about an 1892 land deal.
We'll be right back on the Andrew Cordell Show.
The problem with the American dream is waking up in your 40s stuck in a nightmare, working too many hours for too little money. What if you could break that cycle, supplement your income, and actually sock away some money for retirement? Or better yet, be your own boss. Keep more of what you make because you are working for you. Well, now you can, and people just like you are doing it right here in Making Money Now Without Risking Any of Their Own Money. Find out how in Andrew Cordell's brand new Amazon best-selling book, Cashflow Finish Line. The cost? Zero. Andrew has arranged for his sponsors to help pay for shipping and handling. Just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Live the American dream on your terms, starting with a simple phone call. Call 1-800-524-0720 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-0720 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-0720 now. That's 1-800-524-0720.
You've been listening to The Andrew Cordell Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to The Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show. And I got in the studio with me David Tyler, expert investor. And David, you were telling a story about your success in real estate, how you retired at the age of 41. And I really like where the story's going. I know there's some cool catches here that are about to happen with some business in this land that I'm so excited to talk about from 1892. So let's recap real quick. Your dad had bought some properties in the long time ago, two houses. So you sort of had that itch from then, and you attended some seminars way back in the early 70s and learned a little bit about real estate. You buy your first property. You buy it for $38,000, and you end up selling it. You fix it up, and you sold it for how much?
$93,000.
Now, let's talk about this deal for a second. Did you actually move into this property?
Yes.
Or did you? Okay, so you actually moved your kids into this property and rehabbed it while you were living inside the property, basically.
Yes.
Now, I know that's actually a strategy that a lot of people use nowadays because you can get out of the capital gains tax, which it was a huge savings by not having to pay the capital gains. So I know this is a popular strategy. What was your plan going in?
It actually kind of fell into my lap.
Okay.
I was trying to do the real estate investing, but the going into the second house, it made a good, clean transaction where I kept the property and just bought a second house.
Okay. Gotcha. So you buy this house for $38,000, you sell it for $93,000. I'm sorry, it's worth $93,000. And now we're going to get into a part of the story that is a tragedy, but don't worry, it ends in a good outcome here. But you're at this property, you got this good equity inside this property, you got kids there. What happens that provokes you to move at this point?
Well, my the street was kind of a busy street. And so the problem is, my daughter ran out in front of a Bronco.
Wow. And how old was she at the time?
Four.
Wow. 4 years old. You make this type of an investment, your home, you rehab it, you live in it, but it's on a busy street. And horrific story. Your daughter runs out in front of a car at the age of four and is hit by a Bronco. And if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not a great car guy here, I'm more of a real estate guy, but when I say Bronco back in the 70s, those are big vehicles, weren't they?
Yeah, that's a full-size four-wheel drive.
Yeah, suburban style, basically, if you will. And so your daughter's hit by this at the age of four, and you were telling me the miraculous story how she ended up both hips?
Yeah, broke her hips.
Broke her hips. She goes to the hospital, and she was walking within a month?
Yeah, she's walking. She had some struggles.
Yeah,
walking.
Sure.
But she healed really fast.
Wow, what an incredible story! At the age of four, this happens to this child, your child, and of course, it had a horrible thought process probably going through your head. I can't imagine what that would be like. But at the end of the day, it turns out great. Your daughter is walking and survives. But at that moment, you're like, I got to get out of this busy road, basically.
Right. Exactly.
And so because of that, you provokes you to move. Now, what do you do with the house that you're in right now?
Well, it made a really good transition to be able to rent that house. And I went and bought another house in another area. It's obviously a quieter neighborhood.
Yeah, not cul-de-sac, traffic. No traffic.
Pretty much. But it was a lot quieter. It was a lot nicer house. And so it was a good thing for us. And we had a good positive cash flow on the first property.
Yeah, so you end up keeping this property. Now, is there a reason you kept it versus sell? What made you keep the property?
Well, right then, the market wasn't all that good.
Okay.
And so we kept it, and the market did go up. And that's when we did go ahead and sell it later on when the market moved up.
Ah, a little savvy investor. You played the market. Very smart. So you end up keeping this property. You rent it out. Do you remember what your cash flow was for this property?
It's about $100 a month.
Okay. So you're making about $100 a month cash flow on the property, which is typical when you have a finance property, especially at 17%. I actually can't believe you made that amount of money. It's crazy. So you keep this as a rental. You go to the second property. What type of – do you do the process again? Do you buy a fixer-upper? What do you do?
Well, I bought a property. It actually wasn't too bad, but it was a split level, and we didn't really like the split level. So we kind of changed it around so it was a little nicer of a split level than most of the other ones. And we lived in that for quite some time. And in the meantime, I changed jobs and I bought my shop.
Yeah. So you were telling me this. So let me paint the picture here. You now you own two houses. Both have good equity in them. You're living in one. One's providing you cash flow. And the creative side of you, where you're working at, your mechanic shop that you're working at, that guy, the owner, wants to sell the shop, and you structure basically a creative deal where he owner finances the shop over to you. Is that correct?
Correct.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you basically use a lot of the real estate tools that we talk about, creative financing inside of real estate. You apply those into this shop, the mechanic shop now, and buy a business of auto repair, basically. And another good point there, as I'm just thinking before we go to break here, is that it's amazing how business is so similar to real estate. If you want to be a successful real estate investor, run it as a business, because you can go between actual businesses as auto mechanic as well as real estate. Coming back after the break, we're going to talk about how he expanded the shop, got land, sold it, and bought a 34-unit apartment complex right after the break.
We'll be right back on the Andrew Cordell Show.
Listen up, America. Are you interested in discovering proven real estate investment techniques that can create life-changing wealth? Andrew Cordell, founder of the National Association of Real Estate Investors, has just published a brand new Amazon best-selling book to give you a market edge on making money in your own backyard. In his book, Cashflow Finish Line, you'll quickly learn the top 12 strategies for making money in real estate today. Discover how to do profitable deals that don't require you lift a paintbrush, but give you fixed returns that can create cash flow and long-term wealth. Call 1-800-524-1365 now to get Andrew's new book absolutely free. Andrew's sponsors are now helping to pay for shipping and handling. You just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Plus, as a bonus, call 800-524-1365 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Learn and earn with Andrew Cordell by calling 1-800-524-1365. That's 1-800-524-1365 to get your free book today.
You've been listening to The Andrew Cordell Show.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to The Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about real money made from real estate, and I got a real estate investor in the studio today. And so, David, I want to pick back up your story here and come to a close, sort of how you got to retirement. We understand, for the listeners that just jumped on, David bought his first house, fixed it up, lived in it back in 1982. I think you bought that first property. Bought it, fixed it up, lived in it, and then kept it as a rental, moved to another property, bought that one, fixed it up, lived inside of that property. And then you get creative. And David, the owner of his mechanic shop, wants to sell the shop. David uses his creative side of financing, sort of like we always talk about in real estate. And this is an incredible deal, David. You were sort of talking to me a little bit during the break here, was that you got him to give you ownership of the shop at 0% interest for the first year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how much money do you have to put down?
Zero.
No money down. So David here uses creative structure of a financing, gets a 0% interest for the first year, no money down on a actual business with a shop included inside of it, and you buy this business. And then what? Now you have two houses, you got this business, sort of pick up from there. What happens from here inside of the business that you have there?
Well, just running the business, it started picking up. We started doing really well, and as we went along, there was another part of the building that we actually incorporated into our business. So we went from a two-bay shop to a three to a four-bay shop, which was the complete building at one point. So we were basically using everything there that we possibly could use without expanding.
Now, so you have this shop, you buy this business at 0% interest, no money down for the first year, and you expand it from a two-bay all the way up to a four-bay.
Right.
And another thing I just want the listeners to understand here is it's amazing how much real estate investing runs parallel with so many different things. And here David has rehabbed his own properties and now is taking a lot of that experience and now is adding on to his current business that he has there. He builds out two new bays, expands his business, and now where it gets really interesting, David, because now we come across this land. So you're building out your fifth bay. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so now you have expanded again. Now you're building out your fifth bay. You've been there for years. And the building inspector comes out while you're building your fifth bay. What happens?
Well, he inspects the property, and as he's doing that, I've got some cars parked in the lot next door. And he told me to move them and not to use that land. And so I thought, okay, I'll just go ahead and find out who owns the property, and I'll rent the property while I'm doing the building because nobody's using the land.
Nobody's using it. Now, how long had you parked your cars on this vacant lot, basically?
Probably a year or two.
Yeah, so it wasn't like you used it for a week. You were using this thing for a long time with no complaints, right?
Correct.
Nobody called you. Nobody said anything to you. It had been vacant the entire time you had been there, of course. And so you just got some of your cars that are parked on it. Building inspector comes out and tells you, you got to move your cars. You got to get these cars out of here. So you try to find the owner of this land because, again, the normal process is, well, it's vacant, so I'll just try to rent it and park my cars there. You go to find the owner, and what happens?
Well, I went down to the county to find out who the owner was, and I said, who's the owner? And they said, we don't know. And I went, what do you mean? You're the county. You're supposed to know
This is your job. Yeah. It's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Keep the records of who owns what land, right?
Right.
So you go to the courthouse to try to find it.
And there's nothing there. And I said, well, who does know? And they said, well, you have to have it researched. So I paid somebody to research the property, costing me about $300-$400 to have them research it. Come back, it was owned by a guy by the name of James Smith back in 1893.
So you pay these researchers to go back, they research it, they find out the previous owner, the current owner, was James Smith in 1892.
Correct.
And of course, he's passed away by this point.
Well, it's 100 years. He'd have to be 150 years old.
Yeah, 150. So what do you do? How do you get someone's land that has passed away, you know, whatever, 60, 70 years ago?
Well, the attorney I talked to, what he did is he said, well, the best thing you can do is just basically do what they call – it's kind of like an adverse possession. But because the property was right next to my property, I could adversely possess that property and really didn't have any competition.
Wow.
So he basically said, just come down to my office, fill out this quit claim deed. We put a claim deed on it, send it into the county, and $25 more. I was now the new owner of the – it was a quarter-acre piece of property.
So now you get – I've never heard of this, and I've been investing a long time. I've heard a lot of crazy stories. And I got to be honest, this is the first time I've heard this where the owner was from 1892, no other owners, no family inherited it. This dead, deceased person still owns the property. You basically just assume the property through, the legal procedures there for $25, and now you're the owner of the property.
Correct.
You add it to your you now have this shop sitting right beside this raw land that's your parking lot now. And then later on, several years down the road, you end up selling both of these together. You sell your shop and you sell the raw land attached to it, right?
Correct.
And the raw land at that point that you paid about $25 for, what would you say the estimated value was of that property?
Well,
the land, just the land.
I'm guessing probably around $100,000.
This is great. A $25 investment on raw land, and you get a $100,000 investment profit back on the deal a couple years later when you sell the property. I've never heard of a story like this of an 1892 piece of land where you make $100,000 off of it for $25. Now, quickly, I want to wrap this up because you say you retired at the age of 41. How did you get to the point of retirement at 41? What did you buy next when you sold the shop and the $100,000 piece of free land?
Well, when I sold that, I took the money and went out and bought a 34-unit building and two fourplexes. And basically, I had a really high cap rate on all of those. My cap rate on my 34-unit building was what they call a 19 cap rate, which is a pretty high cap rate, which gave me, like I said, about $6,000 or $7,000 a month.
So you take the profit from the shop and your free land, you end up with about 42 units, if you will, 42 doors. You got $7,000 a month cash flow. You retired age 41 with 42 units that you own.
Correct.
Simple as that. 1, 2, 3, folks. It's just that easy. Dave, that's an awesome story, man. I'm glad you got on the phone and talked to the listeners here today. Guys, if you want to know more about real estate investing or you want to become a NARI member just like David, simply pick up the phone, dial 1-800-537-3440. For $1 a day, you can become a member of the NARI, which is the National Association of Real Estate Investors. Take the time, become a member today. I'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place on the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show.
Thanks for listening to the Andrew Cordell Show, where we earn real money in real estate. For more information, go to www.andrewcordell.com.